It's All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Richard Hake. Earlier this summer, WNYC launched a multi-year study with Columbia University to look at air pollution in New York City and its impact on bike riders and others who exercise. Overall, cycling's benefits outweigh its risks, but researchers want to know whether the risk of pollution exposure could be reduced further, maybe by figuring out how to avoid certain areas or times of day. We invited listeners to participate, and hundreds of you volunteered. WNYC's Fred Mogul recently caught up with one of the first members of our Bicycle Brigade and has this report.
School was out for summer for most people, but not for science teacher Mirna Gatika when I visited her a few weeks ago at East Bronx Academy.
Photosynthesis and respiration are alike in that they both do what?
Gatika is teaching biology. Respiration is on her mind a lot these days and on her body. She's wearing a distinctive outfit that includes a tight nylon undershirt with sensors measuring her breathing and heartbeat and a blood pressure cuff around her arm that contracts every 20 minutes. It catches Gatika's students off guard.
Their heads pop up, like, what's that beeping, what's that buzzing sound? And then that's when I talk to them about it. And now they're kind of bored of it because I keep repeating to them.
She also has a vest with pockets holding high-tech air monitors. Gatika sleeps with most of this on the night before a ride and wears the outfit all day so that researchers get a baseline for her body and her environment. She and other volunteers commit to 5 bike commutes over 2 weeks. After class, I join Gatika for her ride home.
We're going to take Southern Boulevard all the way down to the Triborough Bridge and then take the Randall's Island into Queens. 10 miles. I'll take it easy.
The trip normally takes about 45 minutes, half the time she'd spend taking the subway and bus between her home in Queens and her classroom in the Bronx. Though with me in tow, asking questions, taking wrong turns, and getting a flat, it takes a lot longer. Clipped to her shoulder strap is a small speaker.
It's not headphones. I feel safer hearing traffic. And also, people hear me when I'm passing by. So if they are darting out of nowhere, they hear the music first and then they see me.
As a science teacher, Gatika is thrilled to participate in a serious academic study. And as a cyclist, she's glad to be tackling the problem of air pollution. She's been wondering about that for a while. She used to commute via the Queensborough Bridge and the east side of Manhattan.
But it was just so much construction that on top of the pollution of the cars and the construction pollution, I just couldn't take it anymore. I would come home and I would have like black snot and it was just nasty.
Now she bypasses Manhattan with the Triborough Bridge. She warns me it has tons of stairs, a narrow cattle chute of a bike path, and almost no buffer with traffic that's often heavier and more truck-filled than on other bridges.
I hate it because I have to get on and off my bike about 4 times. I have to get off and go downstairs, get upstairs, and it's shaky, it's scary, it's not well designed.
Once we're up there, though, Gatika admits there are some likable things about the Triborough.
You can see Brooklyn, New Jersey, Bronx, Queens, all of Queens, Manhattan. You can see everything from here.
And better still, you can descend to Randall's Island.
Close to the water, has a lot of green, trees, plants.
We're at a bend in the East River, ominously called Hellgate. But to Gatika, it's an oasis.
It just feels clean. It feels purifying.
And then we trudge back up the bridge and off to Queens, where it's only a short distance to Gatika's apartment.
Finally!
She opens her laptop, connects her iPhone, and dumps the GPS tracking data so the researchers can map her ride.
I do that, downloads. I have to email it to Kara.
A few days later, grad student Kara Smith comes and collects all the monitors. She brings them back to Columbia, offloads the data, and starts analyzing it. After a month, she and researcher Stephen Chilrood invite Gatika and me to come in and take a look.
This map here, this is all the rides that you did.
Gatika's rides show up as colored spaghetti strands overlaid on New York City. Each strand changes colors depending on which streets and neighborhoods are being crossed. When the air is cleaner, the line is dark green. And as things get dirtier, the line turns yellow, then orange, then red. Gatika's eyes go right to her favorite spot.
I'm so surprised that it's higher in Randall's Island. Am I reading it right?
Yeah, you are. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of variation. from one time of day to another and from day to day due to wind patterns, temperature, and other factors. But, yes, the whole Triborough-Bridge area is pretty swamped with pollution particles, including the island underneath.
Whoa, I was not expecting it to be that high.
It's a pattern we seem to be picking up in the bikers, that when they're on bridges, it's a bottleneck, right? So you're bottling all that traffic into that small area.
Overall, cycling has helped Gatika. She's lost 65 pounds since she began seriously bike commuting, and she just feels more calm and confident. She says it's a little disappointing that the pause on Randall's Island isn't quite so purifying, in a physical, chemical sense at least. She jokes maybe she has some sort of genetic mutation that protects her from pollution.
I've been breathing this air for my entire life. I grew up in a city, so maybe I'm immune to it.
It'll be a little while before the Columbia team can say anything about the exact dose of pollution Gatika inhaled and its impact on her health. In the meantime, she'll keep riding, whether or not she's immune to pollution. For WNYC, I'm Fred Mogul.
To stay up to date on the study and find out how to participate in future health projects, go to WNYC.org/streets and make sure to check out the video, too.